have a look at that as well. And there's a lot of other amazing content on there. So please feel free to pass the link on. Great. Let's pray. Father, we just want to add our agreement, Lord, to just what was sung, Lord, that there's no other name like yours, Father. There's no other name worthy of our worship, Father. There's no better place than your presence, God. God, and we declare, Father, that there's no one else worthy, Lord, of us laying our lives down in gratitude and in praise and in worship unto you, Father. We lay our lives down as praise and as worship for what you've done, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the joy that we have of just being in your presence right now. We thank you, Lord, that it's possible for us to be here with you, Lord, by the blood of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you, God, that you are here present with us as the King of Glory, God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher. And we consecrate this time, God. We consecrate this time for your glory. Lord, we recognize that although we have certain desires and needs and wants in this moment, Father, we declare that we trust you, God, to do your will in us and through us for the sake of your kingdom and for the sake of your name, Lord. Be glorified in our midst, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I commit myself to you, Lord, and I say, Lord, I ask that you breathe on every word. May the words of my mouth, Lord, and meditations of my heart be pleasing to you this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So this morning, still morning, is it? Yep. I'm going to touch a little bit on parts of what Fred was ministering about. So I want to really encourage you to have a look at those and or listen, whichever you prefer. I want to start with Romans chapter 8. There's a lot in Romans chapter 8. Lots of happening there. Some favorite verses for everybody. But when we take it into context, it's a little bit more challenging. So we're going to do some of that this morning. Let's start at verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. So we start here. There's a few concepts in here. I'm going to take just a few of them this morning. And I look at a few basic points around that. Now it starts there talking about us being heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Now that is good news. Amen. That is great news. The whole concept of us being joint heirs with Christ actually is a bit mind-boggling if you think about it. And the fact that we are joint heirs with Christ as a result of a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the covenant, the whole idea of covenant is something that's a little bit foreign to us in terms of the society we live in now. But in terms of us as believers, it's an important one to understand that in a covenant situation, doesn't matter how unbalanced it may seem or unfair it may seem, if two parties come together in covenant, then all the military might and blessing and wealth and favor and everything that is good and pleasant, I suppose also the unpleasant, but everything that comes with the one party also then after the covenant is cut belongs and is in favor of the other party. Okay, so that's where the mind-boggling bit comes in. Because if we think of covenant with God, there are no negatives that come with the covenant. There are only, you know, if we think of the power and the wealth and the the blessing and the kingdom of God that comes with us being in covenant with Him, it truly boggles the mind. And it's exciting to think about it, and it's encouraging to think about it. And you know, us being co-heirs with Christ, we can spend a lot of time unpacking that, but that's not what I want to focus on this morning. Sorry. But what I want to look at is this little thing that Paul sneaks in here that kind of catches us off guard sometimes. And he says here, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And then he throws it in here. If we indeed suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And we're like, what? Is this part of the deal? You know, where does this come from? How did he sneak this in here? I'm just going to quickly look at Philippians as well. See how he brings it in here. Chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That's good, eh? That's amazing. And there's and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. And you think, what? Why does He bring that in there at the end? That was like great. So up to there, you know, up to the power of His resurrection. Sorry, it's maybe just me that thinks like this. Wow, you know, that's exciting. The power of the resurrection. That's like, yeah. And then he says, fellowship of His sufferings. I'm like, no. Being conformed to His death. So even here, when he speaks about, you know, having suffered the loss of all things, but that's kind of him laying down his old life. But then he also says, in the context of us enjoying the power of the resurrection of Christ, he says, well, the part of that is also that we have a fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Now, this may not seem to you like good news, just hang in there. In fact, you know, this is one of the challenging bits of Scripture. Maybe this is not something that will get big offerings on TBN or something. I don't know how it works, but Christ actually guarantees us. He says there are going to be some difficult times. He says, you know, at school, Abigail, my oldest, has just started school. I suddenly feel very old, but anyway, I'll make it. So I remember at school that when they give you like a math problem or something, there was some of these problems where they say these are the givens, these are the facts. This is that you need to solve the problem. These are in place. And Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Trials, different translations call the different things. But in various parts, he talks about this reality. That in our serving Christ, in our following Him, there is this aspect that nobody wants to talk about that is a given. Okay? Sorry that I'm the bearer of this reality. But then it also says count it joy. But so this morning I'm gonna look at what the reality of this being a part of the inheritance and part of the walk, part of the journey of following Christ, is the reality of trials and tribulations and testing times and challenges. I'm connecting it with what Fred was saying, because he mentions the, you know, disappointments, he mentions challenges, and he says also that most of those, or those that haven't been caused by God, are used by God. Amen. And that's what we hold on onto in terms of Romans 8, and that's our favorite scripture, the one that says, you know, all things work together for the good. So that remains, and that we look towards. I'm going to look at it a little bit later, more later. But the reality that part of our walk with Him includes this suffering aspect. And Look, guys, it's all relative, okay? So I'm aware that that term, try or challenge or suffering, for each one of us here will mean something different. And also for guys in Syria will mean something different. I mean, so it's all a bit relative. But the reality of it is it doesn't change, okay? So part of the promise is there will be difficult times. And I'm just going to look at a few things that we need to keep our eyes on in a time like this, in a time where the wheels do seem to be coming off, where that we are pressed. When, if you know, I don't know if you're finding yourself in a situation like maybe you have, or maybe you will. If we look at Christ, then the chances are yes, you will at some stage. So let's continue. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, from 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. And continues. And I just want to refer back to Romans 8 for a moment, where he says in verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that's why I want to start with that, is that that is the context of the difficulty and the trial and the tribulation and the suffering, is that when you're looking at the dark cloud, there's always that beautiful silver lining of the glorious sun that is behind it. And that is what I want us to approach this, is that the understanding that, yes, when we are going through a time of struggle or challenge or pain or whatever it may be, that this is true for us, that when we compare it to the glory, that it cannot be compared to the glory which is about to be revealed in us, in our lives, through our lives, even in this life and also so much more in eternity, okay? So when we come to Hebrews 10, he says the same here again. He says, you were joyfully accepted, verse 34, the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring position for yourselves in heaven. So again he says, you endured what was happening, knowing of what was lying ahead, and keeping your eyes and your heart and your hope on what is lying ahead. And then it says there, in verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And so my first point is that we need to persevere. We need to persevere in a few things. Because in the time of challenge, in the time of trouble, there are a lot of things that, you know, especially in the society we live in a country like this, a lot of amazing things out there that will pretend to be able to comfort you and will contend for your attention in terms of this is going to make you feel better and this is going to make you feel fulfilled, or it's going to give you peace or comfort or whatever it may be. And most if not all of those minister mostly to the flesh and to the soul, all right, and the spirit will be left unsatisfied. So what are the things that we need to persevere in? Firstly, to persevere in the Word. Persevere in the Word that nourishes us, that feeds us, that is the food, the bread we need to strengthen our spirit, to grow. And even not when if we're not growing anymore, except I'm still growing in just the wrong directions now. But if we're not growing, and if you know, some seasons it feels we're not growing, but for some seasons, if you're standing, you're growing, if you know what I mean. If you're just keeping your ground. But that word is what we need to strengthen us and encourage us and feed us. And Before I continue, you know, in the when I was in the Air Force, there's a and you when you handing a weapon, okay, when you I'm hoping not losing the ladies now, but if you're working with a rifle, okay, we're trained that if you're in a battle situation or in any situation, might be in a situation when you're using the rifle, and things go wrong, right, with the rifle specifically, you're trained to do specific things in order to find the problem and to address the problem. And there's specific emergency procedures that you do. It's similar to when we were parachuting. A parachute, something goes wrong. It's a bit scary. But that's why you get taught these emergency procedures so well that they are so ingrained that you don't even think for a second. When something happens, you know exactly what to do. Are you with me? And you follow the procedure because that procedure will save your life. Amen? And similarly, this is what I'm talking about here. The things we need to persevere in are like that. Are the things that must be so part of us that when things go a bit pear-shaped and when we find ourselves in a time of trial and trouble, in a time of pressure and challenge and suffering even, that those things are the things that keep us strong, the things that we do automatically to stay rooted in Christ. Amen. Are you with me? So the first of those is the Word. Stay persevering in the Word, persevering in His presence. You know, there's this crazy thing about human nature that when things go wrong, well, it's not like that for everybody. Maybe it's just me, but sometimes we feel that we want to isolate ourselves. We want to just go and get in the corner like Elijah does, goes under a bush. This is terrible. You know, and it's like the self-pity thing comes in strong and you're like, no, this is the end now. I can't, this is it. I'm not belittling the situation, guys, but I'm saying that is unfortunately human nature, that is exactly where the enemy wants us to end up. So it's so critical for us to not stay away from the presence of God, okay? The presence of God is with us, but it's still up to us to push into Him. Amen? He's never leave you. And that's why He speaks to Elijah under the bush and says, Elijah, what are you doing? Like, I'm here with you type of thing. But it's so critical for us to recognize in that moment that God remains our source. He remains our source of comfort. He remains our source of strength and help, and His presence is what we need to remain strong and to go and to actually to be embrace what He's actually doing in the situation. Amen. So we persevere in the Word, we persevere in His presence. And I'm gonna just go on to the next verse, just to Galatians 6:7-10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And I would say, persevere in doing good. It's the weirdest thing. I've spoken to so many that you find yourself in a tough situation and suddenly they just want to throw out the baby in the bathwater, everything else, and go off on a tangent. I'm like, no, just hang in there. Persevere in doing good. Persevere in not trying to not to focus only on your challenge and on your trial, but on those that God has put around you so that you can minister to them as well. Amen. And the encouragement there is, let us not grow weary, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And then as we have the opportunity to do good to all. So I would say, as you persevere in the Word, as you persevere in the presence of God, persevere in doing good, persevere in pursuing His purpose. Okay. And often I found, and I remember when I was wrestling with God about what His will is for my life, and you know, that existential question, why am I here? You know, what has God got planned for me? I remember there was a time where things seemed to go very bad in terms of, you know, everything just went wrong in terms of my plan. But that was because I asked God, let His will be done, right? So let's not go to the long story. But I remember the people around me looking at my life saying, gee, buddy, it's like things aren't going well, you know. From one moment, I was employed with a good salary, studying at the same time, having like a 10-year plan of success and, you know, amazing stuff ahead. And then within a month, I wasn't able to study anymore. I didn't have a job, and I had a lot of debt. Okay, that all came at once. I remember my friends, and they're looking at me like, I don't understand how you can be so at peace. And I want to say that, well, I didn't realize that I was just happy that there was at least a testimony there. But the point is that even in that time of challenge and trial and crazy stuff happening, your life is a testimony to those around you. And if we remain in the place of peace, if we remain in the place of presence, if we persevere in His presence, then that glory can be revealed even in that time. Even if you're not through it yet, even if you don't know what the outcome will be, but you know that God is good, and you know that He is faithful, and you know that He doesn't change. So even right there, there was a ministry going on to those around me, observing the chaos. Amen. Now the challenge with suffering and with challenging times, guys, and this probably doesn't apply to any of you this morning. It surely does to me. Is that sometimes we suffer because of our own stupidity. Okay? I know, like I said, probably doesn't apply to any of you guys, but I have a confession that, yes, I have been in a situation like that, that because of my own wrong or stupid or silly decisions, I have caused suffering for myself. And we had a phrase for that in Defense Force, which I can't use here because it's not very polite. But the point is that if you're going to be making stupid decisions, then you're going to invite suffering. You're going to be, that's the point of the phrase. It's an Afrikaans, so maybe it's a good thing. But so the good thing about Romans 8 is that even if that is the case, that still remains, that God is still able to make it work for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Okay, so just hang in there, don't panic yet. But what I want to say is, I want to just mention a few things of how do we avoid suffering for the wrong reasons. That's what I want to say. Okay, if we're going to suffer, let's suffer for the sake of Christ. Amen. If we're going to go through a trial, let's make it for the sake of the kingdom. God is able to use it, but let's not try and make it worse than it could be. Amen. So for me, I found that pride is one of the key things. Okay, if you find yourself in a difficult spot, even if especially if you've caused it yourself, often it's the pride that keeps us there. And pride delays whatever God wants to do, and it even sometimes it has the potential of derailing what God wants to do in your life. It definitely obstructs it. In fact, Scripture says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So I want to say, guys, this is one of the key principles for if you're in a difficult situation, to keep our hearts soft and keep our hearts pure before God. Pastor Fred referred to that moment when you take offense or you become angry with God, just even a little bit. It's as if the Boeing of your life has been hijacked and the passengers at the back don't have a clue, but you're now on a different course. And Scripture calls it being taken captive to do the will of the enemy. Okay, go and listen to what he said about that. But that's what offense does. It takes you subtly onto a different course. And if you look again in a year, in a few months' time, you find yourself in a place where your heart is not in a good condition. And you find yourself almost heading on a different course and at a different destination to the one that you were you thought you were going to. Amen? Are you with me? So I want to say that that is one of the absolute key things, is that we watch the condition of our heart in a time where things seem to be going all awry. Keep our hearts soft. Keep our hearts pure from offense. And obviously, you know, there's, if we're in the body of Christ, the bad news is that there are human beings with you in the body. And those are all fallible human beings, even if you're not. So the reality is that there will be many opportunities to be offended, and many, many opportunities to take offense and be hurt. And yes, sometimes people will hurt us. That's the reality. But I want to say, guys, the more we bring our hearts to God and keep our hearts soft for Him to heal and to bring comfort and to bring deliverance, the quicker and the more powerful will be His work of redemption in that situation. Amen? Let's look at 1 Peter 4, 12 to 16. Beloved, do not think it strange. Now, this is talking quite straight here. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though something some strange thing happened to you. Okay, this is, again, it's a given, okay? But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So that's what I mentioned there. Again, it's, don't think it's strange when these things happen. And then he says, don't do it for the wrong reason. Don't suffer as a because of sin or because of your, you know, silly things or because of a wrong decision. Don't avoid that as much as possible. Let it be for the sake of Christ. Let it be for His glory. Now, the thing, yeah, so we've spoken about pride. Pride wants us to be isolated. So I want to say, when you find yourself in this process, of you persevere in the Word, you persevere in His presence, you persevere in the presence and the fellowship of the saints, guys. Scripture says, do not neglect the coming together of the saints, the fellowship of the saints. And I found, again, there's something in us that if things are going wrong or things are going difficult, it's a difficult season, some of us that want to just step back and say, you know, I must take a break now. I don't want to see anybody. Maybe if there's shame or guilt involved, you're thinking, yeah, people are going to judge me. So with that pride comes a fear of rejection. They're gonna judge me. These Christians, you know, they're all perfect. There's nothing wrong there. They're not gonna understand what's going on in my life. And the enemy tries to get us to a place where we isolate ourselves. Okay, so I want to say, if you find yourself part of those emergency procedures, is make sure you are in the fellowship of the saints. Make sure if it's possible to go to small group even more than before, and to make sure you're at church every Sunday, even if I'm boring. You know, the Word will bless you. Amen. And the fellowship will bless you. So I'm saying, do the basics. Make sure that the basics are in place. Get around to your brothers and sisters that can pray for you and walk in the light. In terms of dealing with something that God is, that you're wrestling through, or something that you brought upon yourself, or something that's come across your path, the moment it's in secret, especially if it's sin, the moment it's in secret, that's their problems. Amen. That's where the power of sin is. That's where the power of shame is. It's in secrecy. But when we walk in the light, Scripture says, as He is in the light, then He can forgive us, He can deliver us, He can heal us of that. Amen. So, I want to say, one of the key things is, get over that pride, get over that fear, and be accountable for that thing. Even if it's just one person, even if you can't say it in front of the whole small group, it's a crazy to hear how the enemy keeps people in bondage. Sometimes not even things that aren't even their fault. Sometimes it's shame and guilt of stuff other people have done to us. It's crazy. But yet, the moment it's in secret, the enemy has a hold and he has a foothold to just bring misery. And that distracts us from the purpose of God. Amen. So, keep our hearts pure, keep your hearts soft, and walk in the light, walk in accountability. And guys, it's not, I know some people think, you know, if I have this best buddy in church, and we share all our secrets, and we are like this, we finish off each other's sandwiches type of thing, you know, like that, you know. But it doesn't have to be like that. I remember a time in my life where I remember God convicting me that I must be accountable. And at that stage, I didn't have that best buddy, you know, we like make each other coffee in the mornings type of thing. We didn't have that, okay? And I said, okay, Lord, if I need to be, who do I go to? And it was so cool because there was somebody I had a relationship with. We weren't best buddies, but I felt God said I must go to this guy. I went to him. I said, yeah, okay, congratulations. The Lord said. And I just said, listen, this is what I feel. You know, would you keep me accountable? And it was such a powerful season in my life because I was moving in obedience to what God was telling me to do. It wasn't based on my soulish feeling safe even, but I could trust God because he was saying, this is the guy, go to him. And be accountable, walk in the light. Amen. So even if you feel like you don't have the best buddy in church, ask God, pray about it. Say, Lord, who can I be accountable to? Okay. Obviously, it's the ideal if it's somebody in your small group. But if it's not the case, then know that God has made provision for that. Amen. Okay. To watch for offense, keep our hearts pure, keep our eyes set on him. Don't suffer for the wrong reasons. Okay. Let's go on. Then I want to just to refer back to Romans 8 for a moment. You don't have to go back there. I'll just mention it quickly. Now that amazing scripture that we love so much, that God makes all things work for the good, right? And we always quote it up to there. I want to just make this very clear. I just want to read verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Guys, this is an important part of the verse. Okay? And this is partly what I've experienced. When I'm suffering out of my own stupidity, then normally this last part of the verse falls away. Because then I'm not pursuing the will of God. I'm not pursuing his purpose. And then things just go worse. Okay. So if you find yourself in a difficult season, make sure that your heart and your face and your life is set on him, the author and the finisher of our faith, the captain of our salvation. Make sure that your life does not start revolving around the challenge or the trial or the thing that is the difficult thing. Are you with me? If it's a relationship, don't make the relationship the most important thing. That's weirdly enough what we do. We think, you know what, I must focus all my faith and energy to sort this out. But God says, no. Focus on me. Keep seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. Keep being the called according to his purpose. In other words, keep following the purposes of God and allow God to do the work that he's doing. Amen. The natural thing is for us to say, okay, now this is a crisis and I must fix it. I understand that, but God says, no, you must help, you must trust me with this. Keep your heart pure, stay in the word, stay in his presence, stay persevere in thanksgiving and praise. But keep pursuing his kingdom and pursuing his purpose. Amen. Even if you need to, I'm not saying if you overcommitted the church and things are difficult, you know, keep all your commitments. Obviously, there's seasons that we need to need to be wise in our time and stuff like that. Talk to your pastor about that. But doesn't mean you must focus everything on your problem and take your focus off God. The thing is, it's a weird thing because sometimes that becomes an idol and that thing becomes so important. That issue or challenge or relationship becomes an all-consuming thing. Okay, so we need to avoid that. Okay. I want to just close with this psalm and then I was to pray for some specific things. Okay. Psalm 30, from verse 5 and 10. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Guys, if our hearts are soft and if our hearts are pliable and if we remain in his presence and if we keep on pursuing doing good and doing his will, that is when the beauty comes out of the ashes. That is when the glory can be revealed. That is when joy can come in the morning. Amen. But if we lose track, that becomes more and more difficult. But the promises remain that joy will come in the morning, that he is the one that brings redemption. He is the one that brings comfort. He is the one that brings joy out of a difficult situation. Fred was talking about the songs of deliverance that are released over us in times of the most difficult situations, where songs of deliverance are released. Amen. So this morning, I want us to do two things. Maybe if you can stand for a moment. We're going to spend some time praying for the situation in Syria and the refugee crisis as a result of that. But also, there's a family that they've been with us for many years. They moved in November. They're living in Saudi Arabia. Johan was a director, and they were both elders at one stage, Johan and Louise van der Merwe. And they recently, the compound of the oil company where they live, had a massive fire in it, and many people were killed, many families affected. But it's incredible to see at the same time how the Lord is using the situation to minister into so many lives. And this family is so critically placed that in a crisis like now, where many are in ICU, many families have lost loved ones, many are hoping for loved ones to recover from a critical condition. And I just felt we need to just support them in prayer as well. It's a crisis, and it's so incredibly sad to see people that have lost their lives. But at the same time, we recognize that the glory of the Lord is about to be revealed in a crisis like this. And so firstly, I want to pray for a few for us. But then I want us just to spend a few minutes to pray for Syria and pray for the crisis there. And then also for the situation in Saudi Arabia. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning, this afternoon, Lord. We thank you that your word is truth, Lord, and your word is life to us, God. God, and I pray for every heart here now, Lord. Thank you that you know every heart, Lord. You know every trial, Lord. You know every challenge. You know every mountain we face, God. You know every bit of suffering and discouragement and disappointment we go through, God. And we thank you this morning that we can humbly bring our hearts to you, God. Say, God, Lord, whatever happens, whatever we may face, God, we ask that your name be glorified in it, Lord. Lord, that it would serve your purpose, Lord, and that it will bring glory to your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, this morning we recognize that sometimes the condition of our hearts is not good, or not good in a situation like this. So we bring our hearts before you, God. We bring every bit of offense, Lord, every bit of anger even that we might have felt towards you or the leaders or people around us, God. We say, God, we want to surrender it to you, Lord. We want to repent, Lord. And just as every eye is closed, I want to invite you to bring your heart before God. And if Holy Spirit has convicted you of maybe an offense, or maybe a bit of hurt in your heart, or maybe a disappointment or a discouragement, or something that has happened that has caused you to feel something against the Lord or even against the person, I want to invite you to receive grace from God this morning, just to repent of that, to lay down the offense and say, Lord, heal my heart, restore me, and renew me in Jesus' name. So as every eye is closed, if you could just, if that's you this morning, I want to give you a moment to do that. Yeah. Father, we thank you that you take every hard heart, Lord. You take hard hearts and you take hearts of stone and you give us heart of flesh again, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for strengthening for those that are going through tough times, Lord, for those that are enduring trials and tribulations and even suffering, Lord. We thank you that your Spirit, your word says that you strengthen us with might by your Spirit in the inner man, Lord. Thank you for a girding up of the loins, as Scripture says, Lord, of a strengthening and a readiness, Lord, to persevere in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are a comforter, you are our helper, you come alongside us. And I thank you this morning that you are an encourager, Lord, you are our counselor, Lord. And I thank you that for a strengthening in our spirits, Lord. I thank you for a new hope. A hope in your goodness, a hope in your faithfulness, a hope in the reality, the truth and the promise, Lord, that you are faithful to finish the good work that you have started, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for a strength, Lord, to remain strong in the word, Lord, to persevere in the word and your presence, to persevere in doing good, to persevere in doing your will, Lord, and pursuing your purpose, God, even when something in us wants to try and focus all our attention on the challenges, God. We thank you that as we've looked to you, Lord, you are the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. You are the beginning and the end, Lord, and we look to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you have already made a way. You've already prepared the way for us, Lord. Thank you that you know every situation so intimately. I just feel, as every eye is closed, I feel that there is a person, or maybe more, that you have, you're being a little bit hard-headed about the situation, and you have a suspicion of what God is trying to do in your life. But it's as if you're not working with him at this stage, and you're almost holding on a bit, because maybe it's because of what needs to be laid down, maybe it's because of it's painful, I don't know. I just feel God is saying, my son, my daughter, I need you to yield this to me. I need you to trust me with this. And I need you to yield control and trust me that I can work a work of healing and redemption, and I can work a work of deliverance and something that will be glorious, that I can bring joy for mourning, and I can turn that into dancing. So if that's you, or every eye is closed, just if you can just again, if you can just bring your heart before God, I feel that this just a grace for you this morning to receive his provision, to receive his is provision for your very specific situation, and to entrust him with your challenge. In Jesus' name. Spirit, we thank you, Lord, that you bring life, God, through your word. Lord, we thank you for times of refreshing. The word says that repentance brings times of refreshing, Lord. And we thank you for those times of refreshing in our hearts. We thank you for times of refreshing in your word and your presence, God. And we thank you that as we are refreshed, Lord, we are able to persevere and we are able to press through whatever comes, Lord, knowing that you will be glorified, Lord, knowing that your name be lifted up, God. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I feel, you know, if you want to respond specifically to any of these points, whatever God has spoken to you about, I just feel especially, also if you have to deal with some offense, or even if, you know, there's something else that you've recognized, or I just feel that it'll be really, break something and bring a release. If you step forward and allow us to pray with you. So some of us will be praying in the front, but yeah. And actually, if that's you this morning, if you want to deal with something in your heart, if you need just to receive prayer to be strengthened, then please come to the front. We'd love to just agree with you. So if you want to come to the front now. I suppose it's part of the humbling yourself is to allow God to meet you where you're at. Amen. Amen. While we're praying in the front here, you're welcome to join us still. Those that I want us also just to take a moment. Actually, before we pray, so we can stand, yeah. Before we pray, I just want to take us a moment to turn to somebody next to you. If you're comfortable to do this, if you're visiting and you're not comfortable with this, please don't worry. Just to take a moment, we're just praying. We're going to pray for 2 minutes for the situation in Syria and also for the Fanamara family in Saudi Arabia and the situation there. So if you want to, if you're happy to do that, turn to somebody next to you and let's just pray for that for 2 minutes. Amen. And then, but those that are on the front, stay in the front. We'll pray for you. Thanks. Thank you. So God, we thank you, Lord, that as we cry out to you, Lord, we trust, Lord, that you would intervene with your sovereign hand, God, in Saudi Arabia, but also in Syria, also with every family that is trying to flee, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your sovereign hand of intervention. We thank you for your work of bringing compassion in the hearts of our leaders and the leaders of Europe, God, that we would do our duty, Lord, and stand our ground and do what we can at this time and even beyond, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we are here and we thank you for the wealth of Europe, Lord. That is, and we thank you for that we would respond to this crisis in a godly way, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, let your kingdom come in this time. Lord, let your name be glorified, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to minister to those in the front. If you need prayer, if you need kind, if you need us to agree with you about something, please come to the front. Especially, I just feel especially if there's any kind of offense or hurt or something, I just feel there's such a grace this morning just to bring it to the light and to say, this is what I'm challenged with, this is what I'm struggling with, and just want to allow God to bring deliverance. Amen. So if you need prayer for that, come to the front. Otherwise, there will be some refreshments next door, some fellowship there, so please join us there as well. Amen. Thank you.